I'm Tiziana Dearing. Let's take a look at tomorrow's show on Radio Boston. Almost two-thirds of voters here in the Commonwealth are registered as unenrolled in any party, Democrat or Republican. So why? And what does that mean for the future of political organizing here in the state? That is tomorrow on the show. You're listening to Radio Boston. The future of nine Massachusetts hospitals remains in limbo amidst the financial implosion of their parent company, Steward Healthcare. Governor Healey wants the debt-laden Steward to leave the state as soon as possible. But then what takes Steward's place? And would whatever takes Steward's place be better for the vulnerable populations that those nine hospitals have served? John McDonough of Harvard's T.H. Chan School of Public Health says that the state hasn't been strategic in managing our healthcare landscape, but maybe we could now. Professor McDonough's here in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you here. So listen, I was trying to figure out a way to give people a rundown, basically, of what's happened. You have a paragraph in a piece you wrote with Paula Haddis in Commonwealth Beacon last month, and it's got some of the big items. So let me just do this very quickly. So 2010, Cerberus Capital buys the former Caritas Christi Hospital System. They call it Steward. Now we fast forward. 2016, Steward sells its assets to a publicly traded company, MPT, Medical Properties Trust. Steward uses some of those proceeds to become a national for-profit hospital chain. Fast forward, now those hospitals are in deep debt, and we have a structural problem in terms of providing delivery of services, funding those hospitals. The governor wants Steward out, and we have a vacuum of care in some hospitals that serve critically underserved populations and regions. Fair?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. What in your mind is the core problem in all of that? The first thing that drives everything else?
The fundamental belief of most people about the healthcare system in the United States is that it should be guided by the precept that patients come first. Patients should be before every other consideration in terms of how they function. The emergence development of our capitalist economy over the past 45 years, increasingly, particularly in the form of private equity, puts a different notion. Private equity specifically puts shareholders first. So everything else is secondary. And it all goes back to 1970 to a column written by Milton Friedman. And the title of the column says it all. It's a Friedman doctrine. The social responsibility of business is to increase its profits.
Okay, but you know, any company that's been traded on the stock market since well before 1970 put shareholder value first. Private equity isn't the only group to do that. So what's going on here with Steward and our hospitals?
Private equity not only puts it first, it puts it second, third, and fourth. So, and Friedman says it, and we see it in the practice of private equity. Friedman said all this stuff about obligations of businesses to consumers, to workers, to communities, to the environment, bunk, horse hockey, untrue. And businesses need to understand they're in there for one reason only, and that is to increase the return on profits to their investors and their shareholders. And that's the whole structural organization. And so private equity comes in. They're usually there for a period of about 5 to 7 years. They extract as much as they can from the land, from the assets, make as much money as they can, mostly repaying debt that they put on the entity that they bought. And that's how they operate. And then they move on to their next conquest.
And it sounds like you're saying that there's something that's inherently problematic with that when it comes to our health care here in the Commonwealth.
There's something inherently problematic with private equity, I think, across the whole economy, and particularly explicitly when it comes to health and medical care.
So I will tell you, I suited up for the health care conversation today. So I'm going to keep us in that space around Steward Health, because that's the one I came to focus on. And I am particularly interested in an argument that you've been making that we have a couple of additional problems in this space. One, that we haven't been planning kind of strategically across the Commonwealth for our healthcare needs and across our healthcare assets in the state? And two, maybe this crisis gives us a chance to do that. Is that also a fair assessment of what you've been saying since things have begun to implode with Steward Health Care and its 9 hospitals?
Yes. And there was a policy choice made in Massachusetts, a series of them in the late 80s and the early 1990s, where we had had pretty rigorous healthcare planning in the state. We actually had regulation of hospital budgets, state regulation. And there was a belief in the 1980s with the development and growth of health maintenance organizations and managed care that actually the free market would do a much better job of managing the growth and development of the healthcare system than government regulation. And Massachusetts, along with many other states, bought into that and deregulated most of the apparatus that was created over many years to manage the system's resources and its financing. And we said, let's let the market go. And that's what's happened now 30-something years later.
So in that, you just use several technical terms. So let's take the technical terms out of that. We basically shed a bunch of regulations that governed how we used hospitals, the systems across those hospitals, the equipment and the people in the hospitals over a period of a few decades. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely, yes.
Right. So let's illustrate where that comes down now into the lapses in care that we've seen since Steward's 9 hospitals have begun to implode. I'm going to play a little bit of sound. Earlier this year, a woman named Erin Moylan told CBS Boston that she was scheduled for hip replacement surgery at Good Samaritan Medical Center in Brockton, which is one of the Steward hospitals. Hours before the surgery, the hospital postponed.
I mean, I'm supposed to be healing right now from a hip replacement. I'm supposed to be getting my mobility back. And I'm obviously not the only one, you know?
And she's not the only one, Professor McDonough. What kind of size of problem are we looking at across the Commonwealth here? And you know, listen, you know, you've got St. E's in Brighton. You've got St. Anne's in Fall River. You've got New England Sinai in Stoughton, Neshoba Valley Medical Center in Ayer. But this is bigger than just the Steward hospitals, yes?
Yes, it is. So Mass General Hospital has had major problems in their emergency department with backups, where people go in for care. They are left waiting for lengthy periods of time, sometimes more than a day, before they can get into a bed and get the care that they actually need. Same thing with UMass Medical Center in Worcester, across the state. And you talk to those leaders, and the answer that they give about what's going on is that their beds are filled and they have no place to put patients when they no longer need an acute care bed because the post-acute facilities are all full. They are under-resourced in terms of staff, and so there's no place for them to go. And that is a signal to me that we've got some serious issues, not just with Steward. Steward is kind of the leading edge or the bleeding edge of it, but there's much more going on than just Steward.
So I'm going to play one more piece of sound here. This is Julie Pinkham, who's executive director of the Massachusetts Nurses Association. She was talking on Commonwealth Beacon's podcast last week.
In the past, I would say, you know, not just Steward, but other for-profits we find tend to not have a lot of robust supply on hand, and people aren't particularly happy with it. But in this case, it was different. It was a cancellation of surgery because the equipment that you needed in the OR for, you know, knee replacement wasn't available. So nurses were like, what is going on?
And that was one of many cases where there was a lack of equipment due to failure to pay debts, for example, that caused this problem. So here's where we are. And here in Studio 2, where we are, is we're talking to John McDonough, who's a professor of public health practice at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. And we're looking at this void that has been created with the implosion of the finances of Steward Healthcare and the 9 hospitals that it runs and what we can do. So I was intrigued in reading your work. Professor McDonough, you've basically said, listen, A, we could have Steward sell it off. B, Steward could sell it to big players like a Mass General Brigham. Both of those ideas are bad. And there's a C that you would rather see instead. So take us there.
So I'd give the example of northeastern Massachusetts up in the Merrimack Valley. Lawrence General Hospital is a smaller sized, good quality, high quality, a community-based hospital, and they would be very interested in forming some corporate relationship with the Stewart Hospitals up there, the Holy Name family hospitals in Methuen and Haverhill, and then link that in relations with the community health center, with the nursing homes, the long-term care services, and really do some Merrimack Valley regional health planning in terms of anticipating needs before there's a crisis and preparing for it. And that's just one example of what could be done creatively with the Stewart resources. And if, unfortunately, a Stewart ends up selling their big physician network to some other major for-profit institutions like United Healthcare, a lot of that opportunity could be undermined and perhaps even lost.
So two things there. One, your push is that you don't want the state to allow Stewart to sell any of the components of resources, whether it's the physician practice group, medical facilities, any of it, into another for-profit environment, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and two, the kind of regional healthcare planning that you're talking about up on the North Shore, I'm assuming then that you would want that all to maintain some level of nonprofit status. Is that right?
I think it's essential. I think the moment of opportunity here is to realize the grave mistake we made by turning to the for-profit sector to assume that they could manage our essential hospital and other needed resources.
So I'm going to ask two follow-on questions from there. One, so are you saying, listen, healthcare is just can't be for-profit?
I wouldn't say completely across the board. The pharmaceutical industry, the medical device industry, they are just really broad capitalist enterprises and likely to stay that way with government involvement in various ways. But I think when we're looking at the sharp end of care in hospitals, in physician and other medical practices, I think that the for-profit model has been proven to undermine the goals of what's most important in a well-functioning healthcare system, which is putting patients first.
Okay. And two, if I read your work correctly, what you really want is for the state to bring anything to the table that it needs to do this regional planning and make sure these transactions happen. You've said eminent domain, allowing for bankruptcy. You've encouraged the Attorney General Andrea Campbell to pursue criminal prosecution. You're talking about every lever that the state has to create a level of coordination and group purchasing and transformation region by region that doesn't exist today. It's a big swing you're talking about.
Yeah, this is a moment of truth for the healthcare system and for the state in terms of whether or not we can attempt to recapture control of our health system's destiny.
We're talking with Professor John McDonough, who's at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. So have you gotten reactions from the legislature, from the governor's office, from hospital administrators? Any response to these ideas?
I'm happy that while we're sitting here right now, the Joint Committee on Healthcare Financing in the House and the Senate is having their very first ever public hearing on the impact of private equity in the Massachusetts healthcare system. So we can see the signs of paying attention, recognizing the seriousness of the problem.
So
absolutely.
Do you think it's viable? Do you think it's possible? And you fill in the blank on number of years. I'll say 1, 2, 3, 5 years from now. We actually see a Commonwealth of Massachusetts that has a set of regional strategies in place that the assets, both human and physical, of the Stewart Healthcare 9 hospitals have been preserved. They are in nonprofit networks, regionally based. The transactions were supported by the state, and people in those communities are receiving continuity of care in an affordable way.
It's much more possible than if we go down the path that we're currently on.
And are the incentives aligned, or are the incentives aligned for us to go down the path that you say we're currently on? And I'm assuming you're meaning either sell it all or sell it to some big practitioner like Mass General Brigham.
Even more than that, potentially Optum, which is a part of United Healthcare, which is creating an enormous concentration of medical resources and power across the whole country. I think that is even a bigger threat than what we see. But I don't think we need to make Mass General Brigham bigger. I think that there are community-based assets that make more sense so that we can look ahead. 10 years from now, people will look back and say, boy, they really grabbed the bull by the horns and made something better out of what appears to be a rather terrible crisis that we're in right now.
And again, just so I understand it, the regulatory frameworks and the possible money are there that what you're talking about could happen.
Yes, it would take action by the legislature and happen before it can happen again. It's not inconceivable. It goes on. And there's a lot of other states right now that are having this very same conversation. And if I could just add one thing, what's going on right now that's amazing is a grassroots uprising by physicians all over the country. It started with emergency medicine, and it is taking off like a storm. It's all part of an organization, a new grassroots nonprofit called Take Medicine Back. You can just search that term and get a sense of this gathering momentum across the nation to say, we made a tragic turn with saying we can just let for-profit medicine run amok and that will fix all our problems. And we know now what a mistake that was.
All right. John McDonough is a professor of public health practice at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.